Psalm chapter number 8, verse number 3. And if you're going to get something, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Verse number 3, we'll read on down through verse number 6. Psalm 8, 3 through 6 says, "When I consider the heavens," this is the psalmist David, "when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained," in other words, he set them in their courses, "what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" What is man that thou art mindful of him? I don't know if you've ever thought about it. Man is God's highest creation. You know, down here we've got animals and plants and all sorts of stuff. But man is God's highest creation. And if you study the creation, God made everything. He made the earth and, you know, put everything in place and all the plants, stars and everything. And then separated the water from the dry ground and made trees and all that and animals and all that. And separated the firmament and all. He did everything he did. And then he said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness and let them have dominion over all of this creation." We could paraphrase and say over all this creation. Now, you know, The way God created, the order, let's say it that way, that God created things in, showed what he was doing, why he was doing it.
Yes, sir.
He was getting it all ready for this highest creation.
Come on. Yes, sir. Come on.
It's like a family that's going to have a baby.
Right.
They take a room of their house and they say, "Okay, this is going to be the baby's room." And they take out the old furniture, whatever. Maybe they were using it for an office or whatever. They take out all that furniture and they paint the walls a baby color, you know, pink or blue or something. They put a crib in there and they, you know, just set up the whole thing for that baby. Why? Because that when that baby comes, they're getting ready for that baby. That's what God was making this earth for. That's what he was doing when he created the whole earth.
Yes.
He was making a home for his man.
Amen.
He was making a place for man to live.
Yes.
His man, his highest creation, to live. And mankind is the only creation, part of God's creation, that God gave the right to choose their own destiny, their own condition in life, health, wealth, and even to eternal existence. Nothing else that God created can make those kinds of choices. They just sort of live. If you do any, I did a little years ago, did a little study on some of this. Animals are not, they're not as self-conscious. They're a lower level of creation. They're sort of on a program. I don't mean that they're totally like robots, but I mean they're just sort of living out of different psychological impulses.
Right.
The Bible talks about animal impulses.
Right.
And humans are to live above that because they can, as spirit beings, I didn't intend to get into all of this, but, you know, just pull and we'll get there. As human beings, we are spirit beings. Somebody said, you know, man created or man evolved from animals.
No.
You know, little amoeba crawled out of the goo, and then it developed into some fish, and then birds, and then monkeys, and then man. I got a big question for you. Why are animals not spirit beings and humans are? Nobody can answer that question. No, the Bible people can, but evolutionists can't answer. Where did the spirit of man come from? In fact, they don't want to talk about the spirit of man. They want to just talk about the psyche of man. But man is a spirit. He's alive to God. He's aware of God. He's aware of another realm. He's aware of the spirit realm. That's why anywhere you go in the earth, whether anybody's been in contact with a tribe somewhere back, far way back in there, they've carved out a tree and they're beating a drum going, whoa, whoa, whoa. They're worshiping that thing. Why is it that everywhere you go, mankind is worshiping something, but anywhere you go, and you go back way back into the bush, and you meet a monkey that's never seen a man before, they've never carved a tree, and he's like, ooh, whoa, 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 he's never doing that. Because monkeys are not aware of the spirit realm. They are not spirit beings.
Amen.
Man is.
Yeah. Right. Man.
We sure are. Come on.
Man's asleep. He's always aware. Now, see, they're back there worshiping a tree. That's not God they're worshiping, but the Bible said they worship demons.
Yeah.
But that's still the spirit realm. They're aware of that realm.
Yes, right. They are.
Right.
I'm not endorsing worshiping demons. I'm simply saying they're aware of another realm.
Yes.
Why? Because man is a spirit being, and he's aware of spiritual things.
Yes, they are.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, so this is, man is God's highest creation. And man, because he is a spirit being, can in one sense of the word step outside of himself. I'm not trying to be weird. I'm just simply saying he has self-consciousness.
Yes.
He has awareness that he's making decisions and that those decisions are going to affect the outcome of certain things. My cat has proven to me many times she does not know that these decisions are going to affect a certain outcome. I've been trying to train her every way I could. I could go into more detail. I just won't right now. Because me and her aren't on good talking terms right now. Yeah. She's got some things to learn, but she just doesn't get it. She can't step outside of herself and say, I don't know if I do my business on the floor again, he's going to punish me. She just can't seem to do that. Anyway. Anyway, how did you get me off on that? Anyway, so... But the point I'm making is man is a higher creation. He can he's aware that his choices affect outcome.
Yeah.
And there's much more to that we could go into. I actually went into detail on that in Bible school. But what is man? Look at this. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man, that thou visitest him? God didn't make this earth for all the animals, although they're enjoying it. He really made the animals for us to enjoy. And all of creation for us to enjoy. And the Bible says he made certain things just because they're pretty. You look at Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, 4 down and through there. Yeah. Certain things like certain trees and bushes and stuff. So just because they're pretty to look at.
That's right. He sure did.
What are they here for?
Yeah.
Well, they're all for man.
Right.
For him, his enjoyment. Like he created the herbs of the field and the ground, the things that grow out of the ground for man's nourishment.
That's right.
It's all for man. I mean, you take the... You take the gold, that's for man and making transactions. You take the why is the sun just at the right distance? If we were closer, we would burn up. Further away, we would, you know, what would Iowa winters be like? I mean, dear Lord. Maybe he can move it just a little closer. No, I'm just saying. No, that's not because of the sun's at the wrong distance. That's because of the flood. The earth tilted, and it's so far away from, pointing away from the sun in the wintertime.
Yeah.
The earth tilted during, anyway, I don't know why I'm getting into all this. During the flood, the earth axis tilted. It says that in the Bible. There's a lot in the Bible. So, but here's, everything was created for man. Everything was created for man. It's not in its perfect condition right now, but it was created for man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. That's when Jesus came. When man fell, Jesus came to redeem man. Why didn't he come to redeem all the rest of the creation? It'll finally be redeemed. But, I mean, there's God's focus is on man. He's mindful of you and I. He's mindful of our needs. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that if all his thoughts were, put all together, they're constant of his. He's thinking of us constantly. That's a good father. Amen. All right. So what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him. God has made man a little lower than the angels. And then the Hebrew, that's God. And has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him a little lower than God, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Man is God's highest creation. There's a whole lot. I could take 3-4 services and show this, prove this, to show this in the Word, Hebrews chapter number 1, 2, and 3, make it real plain. But man is even a higher creation in his original state. Man is in a higher creation than angels.
Yes, we are.
That's right.
Yes, we are.
Now, in the fallen state, in man's fallen state, he's not.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what Hebrews goes into quite a bit of detail about. If we could take time and look at all that, but in the the original creation, man was higher than angels. Well, when he fell, he wasn't. But now that he's redeemed, he's now seated far above. Amen. And we are God's highest creation. Mankind in general is. But the redeemed, now that's the highest that there is down here in this earth. Thank God there's a day coming we'll be going to heaven. But you know, man's intelligence is much higher than animals. I'm just trying to show you man's God's highest creation. I'm getting to something here. I'm talking about the authority of the believer. You know, people say, well, you know, man is just an animal, you know, another one of the animals, Homo sapien, and, you know, we've got these other things that are also animals. That's a lie. And you need to know it's a lie. Man is much higher than any of the animals. When have you seen monkeys get together and say, hey, let's build a sky tower, a sky-rise building. Or let's create an airplane. Or let's design computing or telecommunications or medicines to cure our whatever. They don't do it. Isn't that right? I'm just saying man's the highest creation. All right. What is man? You're mindful of him. Son of man, you visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than God, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Now notice verse 6. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Pastor, man fell and he doesn't have that anymore. Yeah, and Jesus came to redeem us to get that back. Now, you could just interpret the verse I'm getting ready to quote two ways. But the Bible said, Jesus said, he came to seek and save that which was lost. Now, that's us. That's mankind. No, not trying to take that away from the truth of that verse. That's us. He came to seek and save what was lost. We were lost. But you could also say he came to seek and to save what was lost. That is man's dominion.
Amen.
Man's dominion. When Jesus rose from the dead, he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Somebody said, well, then man doesn't have it. Jesus has it. But he turned around instantly and said, you go.
Yes, that's right.
And you exercise, basically, you can say, exercise that authority. Because he said, you go and cast out devils. One of the first things he said is cast out devils. That means exercise that authority over devils. So when he got it back for man. Somebody said, no, he needed it. He had it before he died. Jesus had it. He didn't need it.
For us.
He cast out devils and he exercised authority over the devil before he died.
That's right.
He didn't need to get it for himself. I mean, if he needed it for himself, he shouldn't have died. Because he already had it.
Amen.
No, he got it. He died for us. See, what he was doing, he was taking our place and getting back what the devil stole from us.
Come on.
Oh, I love digging around in this subject. God's been dealing with me about this subject. So when Jesus got man's dominion back, he gave him dominion over the works of his hands. Hallelujah. And put all things under his feet again. Now, you read the New Testament, you bring that through the New Testament. The Bible says the last enemy that will be put underfoot is death. So that's one that hasn't been put under our foot. Now, I don't mean God hasn't given us dominion over premature death, because he has.
Yes, sir.
I've had two cases now, two situations now, where, and one time I exercised it, and the other time I didn't. To where, in the face of physical death, not my physical death, but someone else's physical death. Actually, three times. I take that back. Three times. In the face of physical death, I was praying and saying, Lord, what do I do about this? And twice, once I had an unction, let me put it in the right category. Once I had an unction to take authority over death, and the person came back alive. His daughter sitting right here. If you don't believe Pastor, then she won't lie. You know, she won't lie. Amen. The second one was another one of my relatives, And the Lord told me it'd be better if you didn't. And I did anyway. And they came out of death. They were dying. The doctor said, we've never seen people with sepsis like that. In fact, that's what your dad was dying with. It's just it's a killer. You understand? And but then the third time, the Lord said, don't do it. And it'd be better if you don't. And I said, all right, I won't. But see, those are all premature death.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's true.
But we don't have. But see, if somebody's done living out their life, we don't have any promise that we're going to live down here forever. That's the last enemy is going to be put underfoot. How many of you know this body will take on immortality one day? If we're still here and alive when Jesus comes, there'll be a big zapping sound, and you'll glow and shine, and you'll take on immortality. Then this body won't be able to die after that. But if somebody's in the grave, their body will be raised from the grave and made alive and become immortal, and they'll live forever in the physical body. Well, it's a different form of a physical body. Amen. Well, anyway, I don't know why I'm getting into all that. But thou hast made him a little lower. Thou gave him dominion. When man, God put man down here, he gave man dominion down here. All right, go to Matthew 18, 18. That was way longer than I intended, but
really good.
Since we're going to be ministering on this subject for a while, so no problem digging around. God wants us to be conscious of this dominion. A lot of believers are living without an awareness of it. And they kind of feel like a victim. Of things. No born again believer is a victim of anything. Tormenting thoughts in their mind, sickness and disease, infirmity, pain. Amen. Not a victim of other people's choices.
Not a victim. Come on.
Come on.
Come on now.
Yes, sir.
Not a victim of, you know, the lust of their flesh.
Come on.
Well, I just can't help it. No, they're not a victim to that.
Exactly.
The position we're in the new birth has made us victorious over all those things. And able to rule over all those things. We can rule over torment and anxiety and fear and doubt, and rule over worry and a vexed mind. We can rule over our body and say, no, I'm not going to eat that another whatever I don't want to be eaten. We have the choice. We can rule over our eyes. We can rule over what we look at. Our eyes, guys, our eyes. We can decide what we're going to look at, what we're not going to look at. We're not a victim to our fleshly lust. And we could go on and on. And we have shared in the past on many of these things. But Matthew 18, 18 says, verily I say unto you, this is Jesus here, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the power, notice, of binding and loosing is given to us. Notice he didn't say, I'll bind it and I'll loose it. He said, whatever you bind. Well, we've got to live conscious of this. People are praying for God to do something, and he said, why don't you bind what the devil's doing?
Yeah. Come on.
Now, your flesh is not the devil. You know, when we gave you all those several different categories, there's many more. But when we gave you those categories, you got to understand that it operates, your authority operates different in different categories. You can't cast out the flesh. And you can't crucify the devil. You crucify the flesh and you cast out the devil. And whenever your body wants to eat a third piece of pie, that's not the devil. That's not a spirit of gluttony. But you do have authority over the appetites of your flesh. Amen. Our body needs rest. But we have authority to tell it, now you get up out of this bed and you get out of here and you get busy.
Yeah.
Come on
now. Yes, sir.
Amen. Our flesh needs certain things. Our flesh needs food. It needs sleep and so forth. But there comes a point where, Carlos, get up! No, I think he probably needs to get more sleep, probably. But anyway, I don't know. I just know he's not lazy, is what I'm trying to say. Anyway, now stop meddling. All right, so whatever you bind. Some translations say whatever you forbid or whatever you refuse. will be forbidden or refused in heaven. In other words, heaven will back you and I up in this. Woo! All right. And then also, we see that earth has to move before heaven will do anything. In other words, God will let us have whatever we're okay with. There's a lot of things people say, why did God let that happen? Because you did. Oh, I didn't. Well, maybe through ignorance. I've done that before. Anybody done that before? Because I wasn't aware of what realm, how far my authority extended. You see, now I'm not talking about other people's lives.
Right.
We can frustrate our faith trying to exercise authority in other people's lives, and we don't have that kind of authority. We'd like to. We love people sometimes. We like to exercise authority, whatever's binding them or afflicting them, but we don't. We can't.
Right.
Unless they're a baby Christian and they ask us to.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's a different situation. You understand. We're a lot of things we don't have time to get into. But when it comes to our own lives, sometimes, why did God let that happen? According to this verse, he let it happen because we let it happen.
Yeah. Right.
We allowed it.
Yep.
Why did God allow it? Because we allowed it.
Yeah.
Now, that's tight.
Yeah, but it's right. That's right.
It is right.
Yep.
I don't believe it that way. Well, I didn't write the Bible. Don't do it. I didn't write the Bible. I'm not saying what I think. In fact, I wouldn't have thought this if I hadn't read it in the Bible.
Yeah.
Besides that, it's red.
Yeah.
Matthew 18:18 is red.
Awesome.
The red text in the New Testament is the hot sauce of the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting ready to scoop that one in. Get ready, because All right, so Matthew 18:18. Whatever you bind will be bound, on earth will be bound in heaven. And so earth has to move first.
Yes.
The Lord said to me one time, don't sit and permit, stand up and resist.
Yes.
Yes.
Bible said resist the devil. You ever seen somebody being arrested and they on TV or something and they resisted arrest? That means they fought back. So when Satan's trying to bind us in something, we're not supposed to just roll over.
Right. I know, right?
Yeah.
Come on now.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. That's good.
Just roll over and let it happen.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, thank you.
No, we're to stand up and resist it.
Yes.
Yes.
And so that's what he's telling us in Matthew 18, and that's what in 18, and then in Psalm 8:3-6. That's what he's telling us. Amen.
Amen.
What does it mean to permit something? That's the difference. That's the opposite of driving something out.
Yeah.
Well, I can't do that. Well, apparently you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
The word is what gives you the faith to do that.
Yeah.
Are you here with me?
Yeah.
That the word is what renews our mind and gives us a dominion mentality.
Yeah.
If you want to be stronger in dominion, meditate on dominion.
Yes.
And it'll give you the faith to operate in the dominion that really you already have.
Yeah.
It won't give you the dominion, it'll give you the faith to operate in the dominion.
Yes.
That's good.
Anybody got anything in their life that shouldn't be there? I'm not accusing anybody. We probably all do. Isn't that right? And so by doing the word, or let's put it this way, by not practicing the authority of the believer, which is the word, we're tolerating things. Stroking them and allowing them to remain. In other words, we're not driving them out by faith. We're not, in other words, we're permitting them. The word permit is another word for tolerate. What have we been tolerating? What problems have we been petting? Some people's bondage in their life becomes their pet. They use it to get sympathy, to get attention, or whatever. You need to wean yourself off of that because it's holding you in bondage, if that's you. Amen. So really, what he's saying here is, when he says whatever you permit is permitted, he's taking the responsibility for what happens in our life and putting it on us.
Yeah.
And a lot of Christians don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They like what you could call a no-fault religion. If it happens in my life, it's not my fault. You know what I'm talking about? No. Whether it was us yielding to the flesh, whether it was us, you know, with not renewing our mind, or whether it was some sort of bondage of something or affliction of some kind, it's there because we allowed it.
That's true. So true.
If the Bible's true.
Yes,
or should we tear that verse out?
No.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for your enthusiasm tonight. So we've got to renew our mind and put the responsibility where God put it. Now, this is not a heavy burden. Remember, His commandments are not grievous. But yet, right on the other hand, it is a responsibility. Amen. To forbid or to refuse what the devil's trying to do, or trying to hold us in. How many of you know you don't have to wait for a cartoon character like a red guy in a pitchfork and a pajama suit and a forked tail with horns to show up before you resist the devil? Just any of his, anything the Bible's called, the Bible mentions his works.
Yeah.
Satan came to destroy the works, plural, of the devil. So anytime you see any of his works, say, no, I'm not going to have that. And start taking the word to that. Amen. Hallelujah. There's freedom in all these areas. Isn't that good? So we can do more about things sometimes than what we want to admit.
Yes.
Amen. Right. All right. So let's keep moving here. God's okay with what we're okay with.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the authority we have.
Yeah.
God's okay with what happens in our nation with what we're okay with.
Right.
It's up to the church. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I'll heal their lands. Turn thing. Somebody said, well, Hollywood and politicians and this and that. No, he didn't say Hollywood. If politicians and Hollywood and no, he said if my people.
Yes, come on.
Why? They're in authority. Boy, that challenges me all the way down to the core sometimes. But I just like to be, I like to let God stomp on all my toes and tell them all my own religious thinking gets all black and blue. You know what I'm talking? It gets all beat up.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. So let's move on here. God wants us to have a mindset like this. Through the Word of God, that's what a spirit of faith is. The spirit of faith is a spirit that doesn't just allow things to happen. It says it stands up and resists it, amongst other things that the spirit of faith is. Amen. So Jesus really gave us this authority, but it's our responsibility to use this authority. You know, as a parent can have the authority to stop their children from doing certain things or hitting their sister. You didn't, you know, anything that they have authority to stop. But if they don't use it, their children are going to act wrong anyway. Any parents say amen.
Amen.
Anybody that knows any parents say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So he gave us this authority, but we have to use it. We have to use the faith of God and use the authority he gave to us. Amen. And that doesn't happen. A lot of Christians have this, but they don't think much about the authority. They kind of have the attitude, I don't know why God allowed that in my life. Well, you can see from Matthew 18:18, isn't that right? They don't have a exalted position mentality. They don't have a seated at the right hand of the Father kind of mentality. Far above kind of mentality. They sort of treat these things like they're subject to it and they're a victim, you know. You just can't help it. That's just the way it is. Anybody getting convicted tonight? All right, I'll get convicted myself then. A lot of the people of God are a little like Israel. Whenever Israel came out of Canaan's land, they had been in, you know, Egyptian bondage for 400 years as slaves. Slaves can't make life happen on purpose. You know what I mean by that? They're just subject to the whims of the slave masters. Slavery is one of the most wicked and evil things that any man could do. Because we don't have dominion over another man, per se, unless it's, you know, the law has dominion over criminals and so forth. But you understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But really, God delivered Israel out of Egypt's bondage, but they came out of Egypt's bondage, but they didn't get Egypt's bondage and slavery mentality out of them. They came out of slavery, but they didn't get it out of their mentality. And so God said, go in and possess the land. And they said, we can't. Because, see, they had never been used to making life happen. They'd been used to things being imposed on them against their will by a Pharaoh, by a tyrant named Pharaoh.
Yes, sir.
Am I making any sense tonight?
Yes, sir.
Well, see, we came out of the kingdom and dominion of darkness, and we were used to things being imposed on us by a tyrant named the devil.
Come on.
We had no dominion over him, no authority over him.
Right.
We did have free will.
But
he kept tricking us up and tripping us up.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And getting us to yield to him even sometimes whenever we decided we weren't. Yet here we are and we did it again. Why? Because we didn't have authority over him. So we were used to just things being imposed on us against our will. Well, we got born again, came out, because that's what Israel was in type. They were. If you read 1 Corinthians 10, they were in type what we got in reality when we came out of the kingdom of darkness and were born again. We came over into the kingdom of God, and we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And Satan no longer has that dominion over us that he once had over us. He doesn't have the dominion to hold us in sin. He can't make us sin anymore. He used to be able to keep us sinning because we had the sin nature. I mean, in our spirits. We were sinners all the way through. All the way. We were dyed in the wool sinners all the way down to the bottom. All the way to the core. Spirit, soul, and body. Now we're born again. Now the new man has created Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're born again, and we've been born as the righteousness of God in Christ. And we don't have to, the Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you anymore.
Amen.
There's one we could take a lot of time on. I don't have to do it anymore.
Hallelujah.
The flesh says, I'd like to do that. So I say, shut up.
That's
sit down.
Right. Don't have to.
Not doing that anymore. Woo! Glory! That's real freedom.
Yes.
People say they're free because they're Americans. No, you're free because you've got dominion over sin. That's who's really free. You just don't have to do it anymore. By the way, do you know why nations begin to get more and more tyrannical governments? Is because the citizens don't govern themselves.
All right.
Yeah.
Come on. That's good.
Selah.
Yes, sir.
Stop and think about that. Anyway, there's a whole lot there we can spend time on. I got so much going on the inside tonight. All right. So, but God wants us to become dominion-minded. And dominion-mindedness only happens because we meditate in the Word along these lines, and we constantly remind ourselves of what the Word says. What the Word says. The doctor may say, the devil's not the doctor, I didn't mean to say it that way, but the doctor may say, it's this and that, and you've got 3-6 months to live or whatever, and the devil can jump on that and say, see, you're going to, just like they said, you can't do anything about it. See, that's a lie.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said the disease is a lie. No, he's telling you what he sees in the you know, microscope or MRI, whatever. But that's not a lie. That's a natural fact, but it's not the truth.
It's not the truth.
Right. Amen.
The truth is, by his stripes you were healed.
Right.
Amen.
Isn't that right? So the devil will jump on your head and tell you, well, what he says is going to come to pass, and so forth and so on. Well, he's not. Don't fight him. He's just working in the natural realm. He's on your team. He's trying to help you. But yet, right on the other hand, you don't have to accept that as the final verdict because you know the Word.
That's right.
And and the devil tried to tell you, see, you can't do anything about it. They don't have a cure for that disease and blah, 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 blah. But see, that's a lie. You can do something about it. The psalmist David said, I'm going to live and not die, and I'm going to declare the works of the Lord. And he got what he said. He didn't mean he was going to live forever. He was just being, in a situation where Satan was trying to take him out. And he said, no, not now. Glory to God. And you and I can do the same thing. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know. That's why you got to meditate in these things. Now, but see, what happened was we got saved. We got born again, talking about Israel and how they came out. And God said, go in and possess the land. And they complained. And remember, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't know how to. I like to say it that way. It just rings true with me. They didn't know how to make life happen for them. In other words, they didn't know how to operate in authority.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Make a decision and go after it.
Come on.
And say, by God's help, this is going to come to pass.
Yeah.
This is what God said is ours, and we're going to have what he said.
Yes.
Yep.
And so the problem, and that's a type of us. We got born again, and we were used to things being imposed on us against our will. You know, if you get sick, you get sick. You know, if you get this, you just got to die. And that's the mentality of the world out there. But that's not the mentality of the Bible.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so, the problem was, though, we were delivered from the authority of darkness. And we're living over in the kingdom of God. That's not the problem, but I'm going to tell you the problem. The problem is we sat under religious teachings that never told us that we had any authority. Religious teachings will keep you a victim. Jesus has authority. I mean, I'm talking about religious teachings. Jesus has authority, and he does, of course. And he's way up there. He's seated far above. He spoiled principalities and powers. He did all this, and isn't it wonderful what he has? And whenever we're in heaven, we'll have it too. No, that's where the religion gets off. Yes, Jesus has it. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead. But he joined us and whatever. He said we're heirs of God and joint heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. That means we have the authority to say no.
Yes, we do.
And we have the authority to say yes, like we were saying on Sunday. Amen. But see, we've got to get that kind of mentality. Amen. A mentality of religious thinking will pray God do something about these things. And the mentality of the Bible doesn't look to heaven to do something first. It says earth's got to do something first. The mentality of authority says, I make a move in my authority and heaven will back me up.
Yes.
Amen.
Guaranteed. Amen. Well, Pastor, I tried that one time and it didn't work. He's not talking about trying something.
Thank you.
He didn't say, whatever you try to bind, it'll be bound. Whatever you try to loose, it'll be loose. No, you don't try it, you do it. Just do it. Amen. And just stand. Just keep on standing. And as light comes, you walk in the light and keep on tweaking as the Lord guides you. Amen. Hallelujah. This message carries a different sound to it than what a lot of people are used to. This is a joyful sound to me. I used to hear religion preached for years, and I started hearing this, and I'm like, whoa, say that again. Read that verse again.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, that sounds different.
Yeah.
This is a strong man's gospel. This is not a weak, beggarly worm, woe is me, so unworthy kind of a gospel. In fact, that's not even gospel. Gospel means good news. This is good news right here. This is the sound of freedom. This is the sound of victory. This is the sound sin can't boss me around anymore. This is the sound sickness and all oppression and things that the devil's trying to do. My body can't even boss me around anymore. Woo! I'm the boss of my body. I'm the boss of thoughts of fear. I'm the boss of poverty. I'm the boss of sin. I'm the boss of bondage and all these things. I don't have to be afraid anymore. Amen. I don't have to be oppressed in my mind anymore. Praise God. I can succeed in what I put my hand to. Hallelujah. So This sounds like a commanding man rather than a victim. God wants this word to get in us till it changes the image on the inside of who we are. We're seeing too many times we're seeing ourselves as seeing the problem as big and bad, and then the devil is big and bad. Oh, he's doing so many things. You know, you look, turn on the news. Oh my goodness, he's running everything. No, he's not. He's not running you. He's not running me. And it looks like things are big and bad. And actually, like the devil's, saw a documentary on the Discovery Channel one time. The fish down in the deeper part of the water, down in the ocean. They can, when a predator fish comes around, they can blow themselves up. I don't know. It's probably not air. There's no air. Not. I don't know how they would do it. But some sort of reaction or somehow. They can make themselves look. I think how many times, five or six times bigger than they really are? They call it a blowfish.
Yeah, blowfish.
I thought to myself, the devil's a blowfish. He's a little wee peon guy, but he makes himself. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get that on camera? Ooh. I got to keep some folks awake tonight. Amen. He goes, ah. And you go, in the name of Jesus. He becomes this little wee guy and runs off. Hallelujah. When we get the image of God's word on the inside of us, we'll see the big Jesus in us and the little devil in the world. Amen. Praise God. I mean, you know, the way you see yourself determines how you act. You remember whenever God said, you go in and the land, you know, to Israel, go in and possess Canaan's land. They sent spies in, and the spies said, we were as grasshoppers in their sight. And then they said, so we were in our sight. See, that's how they saw themselves. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. You know, grasshoppers are small. Grasshoppers. Except the problem was, grasshoppers just went on in. And they went and ate the crops anyway.
Yeah.
And they sat back there and said, we can't. Oh, we would love to, but we can't.
Wow.
We can't. Let's get that on camera. We can't.
Come on.
It's because of the way they saw themselves.
Yes, sir. That's so good.
Well, see, Christians got to get a mentality of dominion, authority, a ruling and reigning, seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father mentality.
Yes.
Get the mentality, if he can do it, I could do it. Because as he is, so am I in this world. Say not in thine heart, who should go up into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Why? Because you're here. That's why. You don't need Jesus to come down here again, because he already came down here and redeemed you from Satan's power and gave you the authority. So he doesn't need to come down here. You just stand up with his name and say, take your hands off my baby. Fever, you leave my baby. The righteousness which is of faith.
Yeah.
This is Romans chapter number 10. Speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart. So here's the way it doesn't talk. It doesn't say, oh, if Jesus was just here. You don't hear people say in their heart, let's go up and get Christ down here. That's not what they're saying. But they'll say, oh, if Jesus was just here.
Yeah.
Why does he need to come back? He came back and did everything he needs to do. Hallelujah. This is a strong man's gospel. And I'm just that way. I like strong things. I'm not a drinker. In fact, I never hardly drank anything in my life. I thought it stank. But if I was a drinker, I'd probably be a strong drinker. You know what I mean? I go all out. That's what I do with the word. I go all out. If it's true, I want it all, you know. Praise God. So the way they saw themselves determined what they were able to. I'm talking about now Israel. The way they saw themselves as grasshoppers compared to the giants. The way they saw themselves determined what they were able to possess. They didn't have a mentality that they could make something happen. Amen. I'm not just talking about what the world does as far as, you know, whip, grit and just intestinal fortitude. That'll help you. Don't misunderstand me. But we've got all that plus the power of God, plus the authority of the believer. Praise the Lord. If you're in business, you don't just work hard, although working hard is scriptural, but put the power of God to work in what you're doing. Put the power of God, the authority, you exercise the authority of the believer over Satan. Because your natural ability is no match for Satan in the spirit realm. You need something working for you more than just your wit, grit, and spizzerinctum. You know what I mean? Look the word up. You'll enjoy it. So, amen. Hallelujah. In spiritual death, we didn't have a say. But in the new birth, coming out of the kingdom of darkness, you know, that put us into the kingdom of God, God gave us our authority back and he gave us our say back. Listen, young people, you can say to certain friends that are wrong influences, I'm not going to come to your house anymore.
Come on.
You sure can.
Sure can.
Yes, you
can. And you're not coming to my house anymore.
No.
Come on.
Don't even.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. So, you know, can you see how that if something's in our life, it's because we're allowing it? Now, maybe through ignorance. So don't you know, be all critical on people sometimes. Maybe it's just through ignorance. Now, if you're seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father, then you can also decree things. And the authority you have there is the authority of God's throne. And that authority is waiting on your words. Amen. When we think of the authority of the believer, we think of exercising that authority by answering something or rebuking something or binding something, like it said in Matthew 18:18. Amen. And that is an act of dominion, isn't it? That's one way to exercise dominion, is to express authority through the words that we speak. But let's look at a couple other ways. I'm going to make some things quick here. We can refuse. How many of you know when we refuse to let anyone else, when I say anyone else, I'm talking about the devil, I'm talking about fear, I'm talking about worry, I'm talking about condemnation, I'm talking about what people think of us, or even people just in general. To exercise authority means we refuse to let someone else do our thinking for us. Come on now. That's an act of dominion to not let somebody else do your thinking for you. They might say something about you, and then that's, you know, that wasn't in line with the word. It's trying to put something in your thinking about you, and you have authority to decide whether that's going to form your image of yourself, or determine how you act.
Come on.
Come on now.
People, because of a lack of education, because of all sorts of cultural issues and so forth, they think they're limited. I said they think. They're limited. It's like an animal that's been in a cage for a long time, and then you open the door. They'll just stay in that cage. They think they're still limited, but they're not. But see, when Jesus came, he opened the jailhouse. The door, the jailhouse door that we used to be in, he unlocked it and said, whosoever will, let him come. Let him come on out. You're not bound to stay in that Satan's little jailhouse anymore. But if your mentality is still thinking in the way, in the line of the old bondages, well, then Satan's pretty much got what he needed. Can you see, a big part of walking in authority is renewing your mind. Can you see that? When we renew our mind, we quit thinking wrong. And when we quit thinking wrong, the devil loses sway over us. I like it. Pastor Nancy made this statement. She said, the renewed mind goes around and slams the doors closed on the enemy anywhere he gets in. It was just a wrong, taking a wrong thought opens the door to the enemy. Okay, the reverse of that, refusing to take his thought slams the door closed on him. Somebody might say something to you that tries to bring condemnation on you. Something that's under the blood. And if you take that thought, Satan's got you. Something in you belongs to him. But if you refuse to take it, Satan can't make you take anything. He can try to keep hammering your head with it, but he can't make you take it. If you refuse to take it, that's an act of dominion. See, we're just looking at ways, different ways that dominion is expressed. Does this help you?
Yes.
Amen. Now, the Bible says over there in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, we don't have much longer here, let's wrap this up, that the 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, you know, Satan, it talks about us there, weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty, through pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts it. So what he's saying is, that's a picture of us walking in dominion.
Yes.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty to pull down strongholds, imaginations, and thoughts. You read down through there and circle those words. Those are all in the mind. And he's telling us that as believers, we have dominion over those things. That's a man who won't take the enemy's thoughts and let them become strongholds or imaginations and then strongholds. That's a man walking in his dominion.
Amen.
So deal with. People say, I rebuke you, Satan. Why don't you deal with the thought he brought?
Here it is.
Answer that with the word and refuse to take his thought. Whether it's a thought of premature death or whether it's a thought of sin or being unfaithful to your spouse. You can take that 1,000 different directions. Refusing to take his thought is evidence to the devil that he's whipped. It's just not going to work on you anymore. You know, I'm not even to the good part tonight. I'm trying to get to the... Amen. The devil can tell when something's not going to work on you anymore. Not because he's all-knowing, but when you no longer take what he presents to you, maybe in the form of a thought, it sends a clear message to him that he's doomed. It just... Things that used to work don't work anymore. He come and make a suggestion to sin or a suggestion of, you know, of some sort of condemnation. And I'm convinced some people, not maybe not everybody, but a lot of these people that go into cycles of depression for 3 weeks, a thought came to their mind and they took it.
Yeah.
That's where that's coming from. Now, you can't medicate that. I'm not preaching against medication. I'm just simply saying if you want to get to the real root of what the problem is, you're going to have to deal with thoughts. And the moment you stop taking the thought, because you get your mind renewed with the word, and you answer it with the word, that's the moment Satan is aware he's doomed. It's not going to work anymore. Hallelujah. That's good whenever you don't have to go through those 3-week cycles anymore, you know. Woo! He can tell when something's not going to work anymore. How many of you remember the story of Wigglesworth, as Satan came and manifested himself in the nighttime, sitting on the end of his bed? He felt the bed move, and he looked and felt the evil presence. It was Satan. And he said, oh, it's just you, and rolled over. That's an act of dominion. He didn't even speak and say, I bind you, get out of here, which is scriptural, isn't it? But this is also dominion by just ignoring him. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? You know, if you don't listen to what he's saying, he can't do anything. Amen. Another way of expressing dominion, well, it's the same thing really. Mark 5, Jesus hearing but ignoring, this is the Amplified, what the report was that his little daughter was dead. Jairus' daughter was dead. He was ignoring Satan. That's an act of dominion. That's the posture of the renewed mind. The renewed mind doesn't just go have to fight everything. The new renewed mind just doesn't take the thought and goes on without taking the thought. It's like Satan's out here trying to get in, but he can't do anything because somebody won't take it. Ha, ha, ha. Amen. All right, so let's look at one more. Let me give you one real quick, and then we'll go to this last one. It's sort of kind of together, but another way of exercising dominion is, well, let's just be one, is laughing and rejoicing. Psalm 8:6. says he's made us to have dominion. But Psalm 2:4 says when Satan threatened God's plan, he that sat in the heavens laughed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
That's an expression of dominion. Isn't that right? Now go to Psalm 84. We'll wrap this up. Psalm 84. Thank you for staying here a little bit tonight. Psalm 84. This is something. Now the whole service is for this. You ready? We're starting the service right now. No, but I just wanted you to remember, before we read these verses, I'm going to read them in the Amplified. Psalm 84, we're going to read verses 4 through 7 in the Amplified. But before we read that verse, remember Psalm 8. Thou madest him to have dominion. Right? All right, so now we're in Psalm 84, and we're going to read this in the Amplified. Verses, what did I say? Verse 4? 4 through 7. This is the Amplified. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are they who dwell in the house of your presence. They will be what? Singing your praises all the day long. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is he whose strength is in you. Now, there's some things you ought to underline. This man, he's dwelling in the presence of God or the house of the Lord. He's singing praises. His strength is in God. That's in the third one there, is verse 5. And then verse 6, passing through the valley of weeping. Now, in parentheses, the Amplified says baka. That's what baka means, weeping. In other words, a hard time in life. They make it a place of springs. The early rain also fills the pools with blessings. Well, what is this place? This is a place of a hard time. They make it a place of springs. The early rains also fill the pools with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Underline that. In victorious power. Excuse me. Increasing in victorious power. Each one of them appearing before God in Zion. Oh, I'm out of time. Go read my blog. I wrote a blog on this. You need the blog. Tell your neighbor you need a blog, blog, blog. Tell your neighbor you need a blog. Listen to that blog.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good.
Yeah, it is.
I don't take the credit for it. God showed it to me. Amen. But I wanted you to see, these are people that are, they stay in the presence of God. Now, this is in a hard time. In they're going through this valley of a sorrowful time, a place of weeping, and it's a hard time. And so, but in that time, they're spending time in the presence of God, singing praises. They're drawing strength from God through those praises. And the refreshing rains of the Spirit fill up that low place and create a place of a refreshing pool of water. And it went from a dry, low place to a refreshing rain place of the pools of the rain of God. And they keep in strength. They keep going from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. Whoa. But the whole reason I wanted you to show this to you, remember Psalm 8. He made you to have dominion. Why did he do that? Verse 6, passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs, of pools of blessing. In other words, he made you so you can make it.
Yes.
Make what? Make whatever hardship you're going through a place of the blessings of God. Now we can start the service. When you praise God in the middle of your test and your trial, that's an expression of dominion. And listen, rain falls on dominion. The power of God moves on dominion. In fact, God does what he does on dominion. Meaning he does what he does where he is given the right to do it. He is not an intruder. He does not intervene where he's not invited. But when you praise, you're giving him the authority to come in with his power and change things. Yeah, glory. Can you see why I really... needed to get to that. Praise be to God. I said, praise be to God. He made you so you could make it. I'm going through a hard time. Make it a pool. Make it a place where the rain of the Spirit falls. That's your authority. You have the right to. Your authority gives you the ability to direct the power of God wherever you need it to be.
Yes.
To put it where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He made you so you could make it. In other words, make it something other than what the devil intended it to be. He intended it to be a place of defeat. A place of sorrow, a place where you were depressed, a place where, in other words, he intended to put you in a hole that you never get out of.
Come on.
Well, just start praising the rain down. And
there it is.
The waters will rise and get you up out of that low place. He made you so you could make it. What God, let's put it this way, what you could make it what God intended it be. Hallelujah. They make it. I like that. Those are some of my favorite verses in that whole passage. They make it. Well, I'm just having a hard time. Make it something different. That's what 2 Corinthians 4:17 means when it talks about how's that say that? Talking about this light affliction for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal. You can make things work for you. What the devil meant to defeat you, you can turn it on his head and make it work for you. Ha, ha, ha. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Mr. Devil. Hallelujah. You can make it. You can bring the power down and make it into something other than what the devil meant it to be. Amen. Hallelujah. You can turn it around, in other words. So praise is your recognition of what he has already done for you. And you're just saying, what you've already done for me, I'm going to praise you for it. So that the power can come and turn it into what you've already done. You've already redeemed me. I'm just turning it into what I've already got in Christ. Stand with me to your feet. You know how to, somebody said, I just want to know how to get God to move. Let me tell you how to get God to move. Praise him that he already has.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Praise him that Jesus already took that curse on himself. He already moved in the plan of redemption. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, whenever the devil says he brings something bad and you praise, you know, when you just sing and praise and dance, that's an act of defiance, isn't it? It's an act of dominion. It's an act of, I'm not letting you put me in that low place. I'm not going there. I'm not. This is not your decision where I live. I'm not living where you put me. I'm living where I make. Make it the way God intended it to be. You have to have a defiance in your faith. You know what I mean by that? In other words, you just got to, let's just say it, you just got to have an attitude. You just got to have an attitude. Like the little boys, you know, put him in the corner and he's sitting in the corner as punishment. I'm standing up on the inside. That's the way you got to be. And walk out of the corner. Now, not the little boy, but the devil. Walk out of the corner and say, you ain't putting me there. I'm going to make this a place where I'm free. I'm in a large place. I'm not in a restrained place. Hallelujah. 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 When you praise, faith comes out. Dominion comes out. Amen. And you're deciding you're going to make it. Hallelujah. This is our authority. This is our privilege of living this way. All through my life, Satan has tried to put me in certain holes, whether it's a hole of mental oppression or financial, you know, limited, you know, small places where I couldn't really do much, or, you know, he's always trying to put you. But see, you've got the remedy to get out of every one of those holes.
Yes, sir.
Every one of those holes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, you know, so-and-so won't let me. So-and-so won't let me. Well, why don't you do something about it?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about fight them. I mean we don't fight flesh and blood. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, somebody shout amen. Amen, amen. Praise be to God. Glory! Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you just make me so mad. No, you can't. Nobody can make you anything.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
You just get me so irritated. No, that's a choice.
Yeah.
That's you not walking in your dominion.
That's right.
You know when they'll stop is when it stops working. Because they're just working you, trying to get you worked up, get you angry. When it doesn't work anymore, eventually they'll give up. The devil's the same way. Ha, ha, ha. Trying to put you in a whole depression. Ha, 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 ha. Amen. Take it if you want it. If you don't want it, leave it here. I'm going to take it home with me. I love living this way. I love living this way.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we're so thankful for the way you've given us to live, the privilege of living in the authority of the believer. We thank you, Father God, that you have not you've not given us a life of bondage. You've given us a life of large spaces, largeness of life, grandness of living, freedom, liberty, and Father, you've given it all through the blood of Jesus. We decide you're not going to pay that great price and us not have it, or us not live in the benefits of it. We're making these things what you intended them to be in our lives. Hallelujah. We praise you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, somebody's going to have to go home and say, all right, I'm not going to think that way anymore. I'm not going to think hard thoughts. I'm not going to think I don't enjoy my life or enjoy what my assignment is. No, I'm not going to think that way. It's our choice.
It's our choice.
Amen.